have been many who have tried to find error in God's word or error in what he has declared. They've come and they've gone, and God still remains sovereign. He still remains a God of his word. He still remains the true and living God. None like him in all the earth. None can compare to our God. He's our sovereign. That means he is in complete control. Nothing escapes our God. I want to talk this morning from a subject. You all who've been tracking with me, you know sometimes my mind works in some interesting ways. God has impressed the thought on my mind, and we'll find its foundation and life in the scripture. But I want to talk about lifestyle of the saved and sanctified. That's what I want to talk about today. Lifestyle of the saved and sanctified. That's what I want to talk about. Well, I believe the Lord has impressed on my mind to talk about. I'll put it like that. And we'll see what the Lord does. There's several versions of the Bible. I normally like to use the Amplified Bible, and I think there's two different versions of the Amplified Bible. One is the Amplified Bible Classic, and the other is the Amplified Bible. So this morning I'm using the other. All right. Because it helps me with my thought here. So now we have to understand the day and time that we are living in that cannot be understated. We are definitely living in the last days. We know through the biblical account that the last days started almost 2,000 years ago. That was the beginning of the last days, according to scripture. When the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came, that was the prophecy that was fulfilled by the prophet Joel. And Peter stood up and preached. He said, this is that. God said in the last days he'll pour out his spirit. So that was over 2,000 years ago. So if the last days began over 2,000 years ago, surely we are closer to the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to keep that in mind, all right, because in the biblical history, in biblical time, people were, they had that thought in their mind. They lived with that thought as the cornerstone of their mind. Their behaviors, the way they lived their life, looking for the soon returning of Jesus. And I think that is something that we need to be doing. We need to be living our lives looking for the return of Jesus. So there's a certain lifestyle that accompanies, or there is a certain lifestyle that identifies the saved and the sanctified. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, to the saints at Ephesians, walk with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning at verse number 1. Paul is writing, and this is one of the prison epistles, one of the letters that he wrote to the churches when he was actually confined in a prison. But how many know? Well, it may not be a lot of you know, but just know that God can give you favor in prison. All right? You don't have to go there, but if you go there for the right reason, let me put that in there. God can give you favor in prison. Yes, he can. And yes, he did. He did it for our brother, the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 4, Verse number one, I'll begin. Excuse me. So I, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. That's a mouthful right there. Paul, he says, yes, I'm a prisoner, but I'm a prisoner for the Lord. And I'm writing this letter to a church that is surrounded again by a whole lot of ungodly influences. We know that the church in Ephesus, that was the center of idol worship, all right? Because of that Diana they worshiped. They remember that riot that almost broke out when they were preaching the gospel, and those Ephesians was crying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So it was in that area. Whole lot of ungodly influences. And Paul is writing from prison, and he's writing to the saints there who are in that type of an environment. And he's saying that I'm appealing to you that you got to live a life that's worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, you need to live a life that exhibits godly character. So the question that must be posed to the Ephesians, why was it necessary for Paul to write this letter to them? Evidently, somebody wasn't living the right type of lifestyle. Or maybe somebody was threatened by the outside influences, and maybe it was swaying them from their foundation, swaying them from their faith. But Paul reminds them that you've been called to a sanctified life, Ephesians. You've been called to a life that is separate and set apart. You've been set apart by God. You've been set apart for God, and you to live your life to God. God, in fact, God owns you, Ephesians, because the fact that he paid for you on the cross of Calvary. Jesus shed his precious blood for us, and so he redeemed us from the curse of the law, so that means he owns us. He paid the price to redeem us, so we are not our own, Ephesians, saints at Ephesus. You're not your own, and you've been given a high calling. The high calling that you've been given is to represent God in the earth. What a privilege, what a blessing, what an honor to be saved by God and then to be sanctified by God, to be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost needs to produce something in the lives of the sanctified ones. So he says, I'm appealing to you. You got to live a life that's worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That means you have to live a life that's a life that exhibits godly character. You know, when you go, if there is, for those of us who like some of the finer things in the human side of life, and if there's or we're fascinated with different cultures or different artifacts, and there are certain museums here in California, and particularly in Los Angeles, you got MoCA, right? And then there's other museums, and sometimes they advertise this exhibit will be on display for a limited time. And then if it's something of interest to us, we will get the tickets. We don't care what the tickets cost. We'll get the tickets, and we'll buy the program, and we'll go and look at all what the exhibit displays. And the exhibit is there for everybody to see. And oftentimes it's encased, you know, in some protection, and you can look at it, and you can even take pictures. And some things that they don't even want you taking pictures of, because it's that precious. And some of the parchment the light of our flash cameras might have some effect. And then some people just don't want you. A lot of, if it's from other governments, they loan it to the museum for a certain amount of time, right? But it's on exhibit. So basically what God is declaring here, that our life should be on exhibit all the time. People ought to be able to look at our lives and see godly character all the time. They ought to be able to see it. So the question is, when they look at us, what do they see? What do they see when they look at me? What do they see when they look at you? All right? He said, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, and personal integrity, and mature behavior. That means we can't act and behave like the world acts. We can't take the excuse or the avenue that everybody is doing this and everybody is doing that. That's not true. Everybody's not. But sometimes we use that convenient excuse to give ourselves license to do what we want to do. But that's not the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. Or it shouldn't be the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. We need to have mature behavior. That means we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we're going to produce and exhibit godly our character, that means we got to know what God is like. That means we got to be in a tight relationship with God. We got to think like God, right? We have to talk like God. We have to behave like God, right? And guess what? God has given us the power to do that because he's given us the power of his Spirit. The Bible also says that we have the mind of Christ. So since we have the mind of Christ, and the Bible lets us know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, the only thing left for us to do is be on display. Huh? To walk like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to do the things that Jesus would do. Right? Verse number 2 says, with all humility, forsaking self-righteousness. See, so we have to be careful that in our walk with the Lord, we don't get a self-righteous attitude. We don't look down our noses or look side-eyed or cock-eyed at somebody who may not be there yet. Especially if you want to have an influence to those who are not yet in the kingdom, you got to walk circumspectly. Because the people in the world who have not yet come in the kingdom, they know when you're looking down on them, right? They can spot that. They can spot it. They can spot that sanctimonious spirit that some may get. So beware of that. Scripture says in verse number 2, and gentleness, maintaining self-control. We have the power through the Holy Ghost to exercise self-control. Sometimes we don't do a good job at that. And that can cover a whole gamut of areas in our life, right? Anything from what we think, from what we watch, from what we put on, from where we go, from what we drink, from what we eat. Some of us don't exercise the self-control that we ought to exercise, and it's well within our power to do it. Let me give you an example. Show you a side profile. That's a self-control issue. Huh? That's a self-control issue. Huh? It's a self-control when we choose to overindulge in any particular thing that we indulge in. That's a self-control issue. We can't blame nobody. And then we have to spend money for these drugs because we didn't exercise self-control. Y'all didn't come to hear that, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, self-control, self-control, self-control with patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love. We got to bear with one another. Amen. Yes, we do. All right, okay, all right. Just setting some foundational things here. We need some personal integrity. Because we're living in a day and time where anything goes. Somebody has to stand up for righteousness. Somebody has to stand up for truth. Somebody has to stand up for godliness. You mention God, now people look at you like you're crazy. Huh? In the public square, you know, will we do our business? You say, no, I can't do that. Why? Because God is against it. God? Who's going to stand up for righteousness? Who's going to stand up for godly character? If not us, who's going to do it? Lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. We can't do what other people do. Yeah, got real quiet on that. All right. Ephesians chapter 5. Not that we're better than other people, but we have a better way. Huh? We want to win people to Christ. Or we should. We should. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him. If you want to imitate somebody, copy and follow his example. So that's the one we should be trying to imitate. Don't imitate a preacher, a teacher, a celebrity, a rapper. Don't imitate them. Your name ain't whatever little ain't on your birth certificate. So don't have nobody calling you little so-and-so and the next so-and-so. You ain't the next nobody. Whatever was on your birth certificate, that's your name. In fact, when you get saved, God will give you a new name. It ain't little. You fill in the blank. Huh? If you want to imitate somebody, Paul said, therefore become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. Follow God manifested in the flesh. When Jesus came on the scene, he came low. Huh? He didn't come with an entourage. He didn't come with a posse. Right? He came lowly. He came in humility. He walked in godly integrity. He walked with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He saw the needs and the hurts of other people, and he ministered to their needs. That's an example that we need. That's a good example that we need to follow. That's a part of the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified, in my estimation. This ain't about the lifestyles of the rich and famous. It's about the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. Because if the truth be told, the saved and the sanctified, we already rich. Huh? Because God owns everything. Huh? God owns everything. And he said in his word, David said, I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. So I don't even have to worry about my needs being provided because God has promised to supply all of my needs. So since here's the trick that the enemy will try to put in our mind, the enemy and partner with our own human thinking, try to make us exhaust all our energy trying to look out and take care of ourselves when God already said, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. All you have to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Imitate me. Therefore, be imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. Those of you who are fathers, you know if you got kids, they try to imitate you. Another reason why, fathers, we got to live a godly life. Huh? Because if you cussing, guess what? The kids gonna cuss. If you lying, guess what? The kids gonna lie. If you praying, guess what? The kids gonna pray. If you come into church, fathers, guess what? The kids going to come to church. Huh? If you're being open and honest, even when you're wrong, guess what? The children are going to learn integrity. Because even when daddy was wrong, he said he was wrong, and he apologized. Daddy didn't get in the flesh and say, I'm a man, just do it because I said so, boy, I'll knock you out. No, that ain't God. What if God would knock us out? Wait, hold on for a minute. I got a scripture that kind of points to that indirectly. If God would mark iniquity, who could stand? Now, that's a knockout for you, but God ain't doing that. And you ain't more macho than God. Real quiet. That's all right. Think about it. And walk continually in love. That is, value one another. Practice empathy and compassion. Love one another. I mean, you got to love your brothers and your sisters. Huh? You got to. Practice empathy and compassion. Unselfishly seeking the best for others. Quit trying to get, you always trying to get the upper hand. I don't know, is that ain't nobody in here, is it? That always try to get the upper hand? You always want to come out on top. You always want to be right, even if you dead right. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, slain for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Jesus gave himself up for all of us, right? Now he starts naming some sins here. Now remember, he's writing to who? The church at Ephesus. So there's some stuff that he needs the church to be aware of and reminded of. Verse number 3, I'm in the other version, so you might not have it like this, but if you do, follow along with me. But sexual immorality and all moral impurity, indecent, offensive behavior, or greed must not even be hinted at among you. Not even a hint of it. There was more than a hint going on in Ephesus. And there's more than a hint going on in here. Don't leave yet. He said, it shouldn't be hinted that it's among. That's not a part of the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. Huh? The saved and the sanctified, there shouldn't be a hint of this. Sexual immorality. Let's unpack that, shall we? I've said before and I'll say again, sex was designed by God to be operated and used in marriage. Anything out of that is sin. Oh, but you don't know. Yes, I do. You don't know. Yes, I do. Sexual immorality and all impurity, decent, indecent, offensive behavior. Stop it. Don't condone it. Well, they're young people. They're going to sow their wild oats. Says who? Says who? Stop it. Don't condone it. Why y'all so quiet? Didn't nobody amen? No, too late. Keep that one. Huh? No, really. Amen means it is so, or I agree. Right, so somebody should have agreed when I said stop it. That's the problem. That was the problem in the Ephesian church. Huh? Because some of your kids is in it and you don't want to say nothing. I'll say something. Cut it out. Cut it out. The nerve of him. He ain't had chick nor child. Neither did Jesus. But he still told you the truth. So am I become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Now understand, you can't make nobody do nothing. But you can let them know your stand. You can let them know what God requires according to the word. Son, you know this is not what God requires. Daughter, this is, we got to speak up. Don't let your kids buffalo you. Maybe this should have been a seminar. All right, moral impurity, indecent offensive behavior, or greed must not even be hinted at among you as is proper among saints. All right, that shouldn't even be mentioned among us. But we got stuff popping up. It's on social media. So-and-so was doing this, and so-and-so was doing that, and then the word spreads, and then we don't see you for a while. Wow, because you got caught out there. You got caught out there, and everybody knows your business. If you'd have kept yourself to yourself, then you wouldn't have no business for everybody to know. That's not the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. That's the lifestyle of hypocrites, of actors. What good is it? Does it do? Now, I'm not fussing. I'm just admonishing. What good would it do for you to make a guest appearance on Sunday and then live like the devil 6 other days? Who you fooling? I ain't fooling God. I feel like my phone blowing up. Somebody might be texting me, telling me to be quiet, but I'm keep going. I must be hitting too close. I feel it. I got it on vibrate, so y'all can't hear it, but it's just vibrating, vibrating. That's all right. I'm going to keep going. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place. He says, or greed, it must not even be hinted among you, as is proper among saints. For as believers, our way of life, I like this other version here. For as believers, our way of life, whether in public or in private, reflects the validity of our faith. So we don't have a public persona and a private persona. We don't have a public life and a private life. We got one life. And the life that we live, it reflects the validity of our faith. In other words, it proves whether our faith is real or not. It proves whether we live in the lifestyle of the saved and sanctified, or are we living like hypocrites. The way we live will tell where our faith is based on. This is what Paul is saying to the Ephesians. So since he's saying that to the Ephesians, and in essence, as we read this letter, he's saying the same thing to us. The way we live, whether in public or in private, it reflects or it shows or it puts on exhibition the validity of our faith. Is our faith in God, or is our faith in religion? Is our faith in doing what God's word has declared, or is our faith in trying to impress one another that I'm okay and you okay and you don't say nothing about my dirt and I won't say nothing about your dirt and we keep a hush-hush and we'll keep that on the low-low? God is uncovering a whole bunch of foolishness, because again, the preeminent thought is that we're in the last days. Last day started a long time ago, so we don't have a whole lot of time for foolishness, especially as we are experiencing the grace of God. And the grace of God that brings repentance, that leads to repentance, Scripture says it has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live righteously and soberly. When we get to heaven? No. In this present world, that's the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. I got to live righteous because I've been saved by the Son of Righteousness. I got to live holy because God has already declared. Wait a minute, I don't want to be stingy. We got to be holy because God has already declared in His Word, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now look at the wonderful word of God, and look at the power of God. God would not ask us or require us to do anything without first giving us what was necessary in order for us to fulfill what He's asking us to do. So how can a holy God require holiness out of His people unless He first gives them the opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost? So since God has poured out His Spirit at the beginning of the last days, and those of us who by faith has received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, we got all the equipment that we need. We got everything that pertains unto life and godliness. We have the power to live just like Jesus commands us to live. We have the power to be an influence in these last days. We have the power because we are the children of light, because God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And the Bible said in John, He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And since the saved and the sanctified, since the blood washed, since the ones who repented and got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and been filled with the Holy Ghost, we're the saved ones. We're the sanctified ones, and we're saved to be saved. We're sanctified while we're being sanctified, because every time we look into the Word of God and read the Word of God with an open heart and an open mind, God is washing us by the Word. He's renewing us by the Word and allowing us to get closer and closer to Him. And the closer we get to God, the more sin will fall off. The more our flesh, we can bring it under subjection as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of the living God that He's placed in us. So God requires holiness. He said in one place, follow peace and sanctification and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. How many in here expect to see the Lord and expect to see him in peace. Well, since that is our expectation, God is expecting something out of us. God is expecting us, since we are the saved and since we are the sanctified, he expected us to live like it. He expected us to look like it. He expected us to be what he called us to be. So he continues to say, he says, whether it's in your private life or your public life, the life that we live, it reflects the validity of our faith. Is your faith valid? Is your faith approved by God? Has your faith been validated by God? The way we live our life, God wants to put a validation stamp on your life. But when he looks at our life, what is he seeing? Is he seeing his reflection or is he seeing us? God, I don't want you to see me, but I want you to see you in me, because then a validation comes from God, a stamp of approval. That's what I want. You can talk about me, or they can talk about us all they want, but as long as we get God's validation, that's all right. That's the validation that I'm looking for. I'm not looking really for positive affirmation and positive strokes. I don't need you to fill my head up with a whole bunch of praise. But one thing that I'm looking for is when I see Jesus, I'm looking for him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So talk about me all you want. Let them talk about us all they want. That's all right. They talked about Jesus. They beat Jesus. They killed Jesus. But that's all right. We know he got up with all power. So let them talk about us. But we need somebody in these last days. We need some soldiers that'll stand on the front line for God and say, let God be true and every man a liar. For God, I will live. And for God, I will die. I can't touch that because my God is not pleased with that. I can't go along just to get along. I got to see Jesus in peace. There's nothing on this earth, in this earth realm, that's more valuable than me seeing my God and my Savior's face in peace. I don't care how much money you push in my face. I don't care how much sex you push in my face. God done gave me a genuine sex partner, and there she is right there for 30 years. So when the devil comes, and yes, he does come, when the devil comes and try to twinkle a little trinket, Lord, have mercy. I got to back up sometimes. Oh, yes, I do. I got to back up sometimes. Or remember, I told you years ago, I got to do like this when I'm driving the car, because those distractions are on the side, and there'd be some fine ones. The devil know how to wrap up a fine distraction. But then I hear God says, leave that alone. You don't even look at it. You gonna mess around and wreck your car looking at some distraction that ain't even studying you. Glory, hallelujah. That's what the devil try to do. He try to put you on Front Street and speak to your mind and make you think you can get that and you can get this when all the getting that I need to get is right there. Glory, I'm preaching to myself now. Glory, hallelujah. But that's what the devil does. He'll try to trick you up and trip with your mind and make you think that there's some other stuff and there's some better stuff. Ain't nothing better. Glory, hallelujah. That's bone of my bone. Glory, flesh of my flesh. So, devil, you're going to have to try something else. And he will try something else. But I hear God said in his word, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. It's time for us to exhibit the greater. It's time for us to stand still in the face of temptation. We ain't got a backup. I heard God when he said in his word, no weapon. You hear what I said? No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Listen, you got to stand fast. Be strong in the Lord. God wants a chance to be strong in us. But you got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on every bit of the armor of God so that you may be able to stand. You got to stand against the wicked one. The devil's coming at us in full force. He's throwing big shots. He's throwing haymakers. He's swinging from Georgia at some of us in Alabama and Mississippi. He's trying to knock us out. But I hear God said that we're going to be like a tree. Planet glory by the rivers of living water. Listen, you got to be planted on Christ, the solid rock. I'm standing, wait a minute, I can't be selfish with this. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Listen, God still requires holiness. In 2017, holiness is still right. Sanctification is still right. God's word is never wrong. If there's any wrong, then it's in me. I got to align myself. We have to align ourselves according to the word of God. Listen, sometimes the enemy will want to put pride. He want to give us a shot of pride. And we're so prideful sometimes. Some of us, we don't even ask for help. When we know we need help, we're drowning in stuff. And stuff is almost crushing our very life out, but we're too proud. We're going to put on a false front. We'll make an appearance in the congregation of the righteous. And Noah, we're having a hard time. Listen, if I'm having a hard time, I ought to be able to come to my brother. I ought to be able to come to my sister who is spiritual and call on my sister and say, I'm having a hard time. I'm going through a rough patch in my life. I need you to pray for me so that God will give me the strength. I'm throwing my pride to the ground because all it's doing is tripping me up. I need to be able to go to my brother and say, look, I'm being tempted and it's coming faster and harder. I need you to pray for me. I know what the word said. God said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But can I tell you the truth sometime? The truth that you might not want to acknowledge. Sometimes your resistance level gets low. Oh, yes, it does, because you haven't spent enough time in the Word. You haven't built up yourself in your most precious holy faith as commanded by the Word of God. And since that devil is looking, he's seeking whom he may devour, he knows when your resisting level is low. So, listen, I come to encourage somebody. I need you to move into the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. So when your resistance level get low, that's the wrong time. That's the deadliest time for you to stay away from the house of God. When your resistance level get low, you ought to bust in here before they open up the door. You ought to be banging on the church door. Said, let me get to the altar because my resistance level is almost gone. But when I come into the house of God, when I come to the gathering of the saints, there's some sanctified folks who's living for God, and I can draw strength from my brother. I can draw strength from my sister, and I can say, pray for me. Wait a minute, you a pastor, so what? Flesh is flesh. I need prayer just like you need prayer. Glory, hallelujah. So if I can declare that I'm going through a heart patch, things ain't just working out the way they ought to, I need you to lay hands on me and pray for me. We got to humble ourselves and tell the truth about our situation. Now, you can't tell everybody because everybody can't handle it. Find somebody that's spiritual. Find somebody that's living something. find somebody that's doing all they can to stay and operate in the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. That's how we live. This is our life. We ain't got no other life. This is it. This is our life, and this is eternal life. God is getting us ready through these tests, through these trials, through these experiences. He is perfecting himself in us. The more we yield to him, the more we yield to his spirit, we're being molded into the image of Jesus Christ. So when he looks at us, he don't see so much of us. Back in 1985, there was a whole lot of me, because I had just got saved. But I'm hoping in 2017, God looks at me, he see more of Jesus than he does of Marcus. Because if he see Marcus, Marcus got a problem. I need to live a lifestyle that promotes godly character. Oh, yes, I do. We need to live a lifestyle that exudes holiness and righteousness. We need to depart from the very appearance of evil. It may not be evil, but if it look like glory, hallelujah, if it could be some way or somehow described or have a hint of evil, I got to back off from it. I don't want it around me, because I don't want the name of my God to be evil spoken of. I got to make sure my reputation, is right. So that means I got to check all my social media accounts. Glory, hallelujah. Is he going to go there? I'm right there, right now. What in the world? What in the world does a saint, a child of God, have some kind of pornography or some kind of illicit sexual activity or conversation doing on their social media page? The devil is a liar. Clean it up. Delete the page. Close the account, because you got an account that you need to be worrying about, and that account is in heaven. Lifestyle. It ain't entertainment. That's what you think it is, but it's entering into your mind. That's where it's going, and then it's being held and contained in your mind. Listen, you got to walk on this narrow path. Yes, you do. If you expect to see Jesus in peace, straight is the way. Narrow is the path that leads to life, and few, God help us, few there be that find it, but broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that enter in thereat. Listen, it's a broad way that's taking somebody to hell. What a shame, what an embarrassment to be sitting up in the house of God for 52 weeks, year after year, and still slide yourself into hell. Oh, don't let that be you, brother. Don't let that be you, sister. God wants us to live a lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. God put too much in this salvation for us to just look at it and shrug our shoulders at it or pick our nose at this great salvation. It cost Jesus everything. And he gave up everything so that we might have an opportunity to be saved. We might have an opportunity to be sanctified. Then I hear God say, I got to let you go in a little while. I hear God say in one place, he said, come out. Come out. I got to jump ahead. But it's in the text. He said, come out. Come out from among them. Oh, glory. Come out from among them. But I got to go a little further up into the text. He said not to be unequally yoke. Ooh, glory. Yes, he did with the unbelievers. That's what he said. But now watch this. Some people thought it was just marriage. Oh, it's more than that. Glory. Hallelujah. I got to get it. I got to get it. Here it is in 2 Corinthians. I'm moving pretty fast now. I'll let you go in a little while. I don't know how long a little while is, but it will be a little while. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. In this other version, it says, do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. A lot of folks think this marriage, he's talking about something a little more than that. Well, I ain't married to him, but you're still messing with him. I ain't married to her, but you're still sleeping with her. It's more than that. He said, do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. Watch this. Do not make mismatched alliances with them inconsistent to your faith. So that goes beyond marriage. If you're in a business relationship and you got some crooked partners, I'm going there. You got crooked partners. You got shady dealings. You got one set of books for the government, and then you got a dummy set of books. You're doing all that crooked stuff because everybody, that's just an industry standard. Everybody's doing this, and everybody's doing that. That ain't what God said. He said, don't you be unequally yoked in mismatched alliances that opposes your faith. Remember, you're supposed to be living in a manner that validates your faith. So if your faith is in Jesus Christ, and if Christ stands for truth, and if Christ stands for uprightness, and if Christ stands for personal integrity, then you got to say no to that shady business deal. Lord have mercy. Yes, you do. You got to say no to the kickback. Listen, if God can't give you the contract without a kickback, then the contract is not for you. If you can't get in on the merits that God has allowed you to attain rightly and justly, then you don't need that position, because it is the practice of sin, the practice of deceit, the practice of under the table stuff is in direct opposition to the faith that you proclaim. So what you gonna do? I'm going to trust God. If God want my business to increase, he know how to make it increase. If I go, I can't cut no side deals. I can't get nothing that fell off a truck somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, I can't go to man, you know, nuck and them, eggnogging them around the way. I can't go to them and get the hook up. No, I can't do that. I got to go buy it right. I got to have real receipts. Huh? You hear what I'm saying? Real receipts, stuff with the seal still on them. Yeah. He said, don't be hooked up with them. I'm paraphrasing, but you read it. I'm giving you the word. It's just coming out through my expression. But it's the word. It's the word. It's the word. Do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. Do not make mismatched alliances with them, inconsistent with your faith. Because you done told them that you're saved. I'm saved. And they're going to ask you, what that mean? I can't operate like that. Give you a good example. Years ago when I first got hired at the Biltmore Hotel. And Marilyn, I think you was pregnant or something. Yeah. And there's a time when you get health benefits. You know they have some of the jobs have a yearly enrollment time. It was past the enrollment. It was past the open enrollment. Thank you. Some of y'all got jobs. I'm just playing. It was past the open enrollment. You know, and I had just got hired, and people in administration, in HR, they said, "Oh, that's all right. We can put your wife on." I said, "No, I can't do it. I was just saved. I wasn't elder nobody. I was just saved. I said, no, I can't do it. I need to wait for open enrollment. I need to give a whole lot of Bible verses and scriptures. I said, I can't do it because it wasn't right. When the time came around, they wrote in a little log book about my integrity. The head of HR and somebody else, people who do the money, to take the money out, finance and accounting, they wrote about my integrity where we offered him and he didn't take it. Whoop-de-doo, God get the glory, but I ain't going to go to hell over no benefits. Huh? I ain't going to go to hell over no co-pays. Just wait, God kept her. Then when open enrollment came, boom. Well, shoot, we got benefits. Is it the right time? Are you going to lie to get it? Because if you lie to get it, you have to lie to keep it. Hmm? And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's not the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. I'll leave this last verse with you because I'm going to hold you too long. But I had some more to tell you, but I think I gave you enough to travel with. Put it in a to-go box and take it with you. So come out, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 6. So come out from among unbelievers and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not what is unclean, and I will graciously receive you and welcome you with favor. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So God, what he's saying is that don't practice what they practice. That's what he means by coming out from among them. Because listen, you can't get away from sinners. Sinners are in the world. But we can live a life of the saved and the sanctified so that sinners will want to know how we live and why we live the way that we live. There has to be a difference. There has to be a difference. Yes, you might have to go to work with sinners. You might have to sit in class with sinners. You might live on the block with some sinners, right? But don't make alliances with them that will go against your faith, your professed faith. Because you said you were saved. You said you were sanctified. So are you going to live a life that's contrary to what you have already declared out of your mouth and they're watching you? And the first thing they're going to want to see, oh, did they go along with it? They did? Then they're going to laugh at you in the break room. I thought he said he was saved. He just like us. I thought she said she was saved. Ain't no, see, I told you it wasn't nothing to that. No, we got to live the lifestyle of the saved and the sanctified. We got to live holy. We got to stand for righteousness. We got to stand for truth. Even when we are in error, we need to confess our error and move on. Amen? Anybody want to be saved today? It's a good day to get saved. It's a good day to get saved. A good day to move from the lifestyle of you think you're calling your own shots. But God wants to save and sanctify you. If you never repented of your sins, you never had a change of heart, never had a change of mind, never had a change of direction in your life, never surrendered yourself to God, repent. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need God. I need God. I need God. I know I need God. I'm tired of running. Get fed up and tired and say, God, here I am. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. God has promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. We got a cloud of witnesses that God delivers on his promise. Amen? Oh, yes, he does. And God can move you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Are you here this morning? You're willing to surrender? Say, I give up. I give up. I'm through. I want to be saved like the Bible says. If you're here this morning, we extend an invitation not to join the church. We extend an invitation for you to receive salvation because it's about Jesus and him crucified. Are you here this morning? For those of you who are watching by live stream, we are the Apostolic Faith Home Assembly Church located in the city of Los Angeles. We thank you for tuning in with us this morning. If we live, and the Lord will, we will see you Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. There's a number on your screen, and for the next 15 minutes, if you call the number on your screen, we will have prayer counselors standing by to take your requests. God bless you in Jesus' name. Well, if nobody wants to be saved this morning, I know there's some people in the house that need to get some things right with God. I know it. And you know it too. So you need to come up here and get it right. Come up here and get it right. Don't try to explain it away, because your excuse is just that, an excuse. Come get it right. Don't worry about who's here looking at you. They ain't God and we are not either. You get it right with God. Excuse me. Don't let pride keep you in your seat. Don't let pride keep you in your seat. Don't let a higher estimation of yourself keep you in your seat saying, no, I'm all right. He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to them. No, if it was God talking through me, I believe God was talking to you. So if you need to get it right, this is the place to get it right. Make up your mind. Make up your mind and get it right. Get it right.